Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was born of a virgin, came into this world specifically to die for your sin. He did not come for the good or the righteous. He came for the wicked. He came for the sinner. He came for those who could not help themselves. Anybody like that? If you think you can help yourself, number one, you're deceived. Number two, you're wrong. Without Jesus Christ, you will die and you will not go to heaven. You will not go to spend eternity with God. You will spend eternity in hell. If you do not repent and hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation beside Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father, Jesus said, except by me. I am the door. No man comes into the Father but by me. The Scripture says that no one seeks after God on his own. Romans tells us. They were all gone out of the way. They've all turned aside unto their own lusts. Many of us are born again. Many of us have heard the word of the gospel. This message is for those who may have thought they had, and yet have not. That you've tried to be good. You've tried to be a good person. You've tried to produce good fruit. You've tried to do what you thought God would require of you. God requires only one thing. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. So that you may be born again. That your sins may be blotted out. Sin is simply missing the mark. Sin is not the big one. It is not the big sin. Or the bad sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. The Greek word for sin is hamartia. And it means as if you're shooting at a target and you miss the bullseye. Anybody like that here today? You've missed the bullseye? How many hands are standing in your lap? Who has missed the bullseye today? Have you? Every one of you has missed the bullseye. Every one of you has sinned. Every one of you has not met the condition. No one on this planet has made what it takes to be born again apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot see God without Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Even the law. You said, I kept the law. You have not kept the law, number one. Oh, yes, I know you have not. Even if you thought it in your heart, Jesus said, if a man has thought on a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's committed adultery already. If you've been angry with your brother or sister, you've committed murder already. If you've coveted, you've stolen already. Here's the truth. The truth is not how bad you are. The truth is how good God is. Now the fact is that God is so good that He sent His Son to pay the entire price for you to be born again, for you to be saved, for you to not work your salvation, not produce salvation through works. Works cannot be done. The law was given for one purpose, was to show you that you missed the mark, to show you that there is no hope for you in this world. There is no hope for you to know Jesus Christ, to know the Father God, or to go to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Good preaching. It's true. Now what that means is that there is only, again, one way to heaven, one way to the Father, that's through Jesus Christ. And even all of the things that you would try to do even afterward, after you're born again, that's a different issue. All of the things that you're trying to do to be sanctified, it comes by the Holy Ghost. But today we're talking about salvation in particular. Your deliverance, being delivered out of death into life. You can be instantly translated, transformed from death to life through faith only in the gospel of Jesus. Amen? That's true. That's true. It's not because of what you do. Well, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to go to church. Or I've tried, and maybe you didn't go to church. Maybe you've just been a good person. You've been to church all your life. You've been to church and going to church, and you made it most of the time. That's not it. It's not it at all. It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with salvation. Going to church has nothing to do with salvation. Being good, doing the best you can. God said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Everybody say, I can't. Say, that's all you have to say. But. But you say, I can't. Does anybody know that you can't? You cannot measure up. That's the reason God set forth the law. Some of you came to hear a message on, how to get better. Well, here's the first step. You don't get better. You come as you are. I'm talking to those today, and I know most of them. I'm talking to those today who have hoped in their, and you down in your heart of hearts, that is your soul, you have hoped that you're going to make it. You've hoped that you've done enough, or you haven't done bad enough. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything bad. You just came out. You just came out bad. You just came out hopeless. You came out without hope. You couldn't even help it. First thing you did was slap your neighbor kid. You know, you're 5 years old, bam. You know, you're 12 years old, you lie. You're 10 years old, you spit on the ground. You disobey. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. Lost it right there. God says, you are none is good. None is good but God. How many know we're not? We don't tell you you're bad and you're no good to make you feel bad. Anybody like that? You know, you're upset because we say you're no good. We're helping you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're saying you're no good and you can't help it. We know. God knows. Jesus said, I came for sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors. And wicked people like you. People who couldn't do it. People who couldn't perform. That's the ones I came for. Amen? How many know He came for you? Did He come for you? Hallelujah. Say, Jesus came for me. A hopeless sinner. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to remind yourself of these things. Because then you don't have any hope in this world. Amen? You know what? If you'll be a worthless sinner to be saved, you can be a worthless sinner to be sanctified. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. You can start from scratch. You don't start from halfway. You know, a lot of folks, you know, are you one of those folks who likes to start from halfway? If something's half done, you don't like to leave it uncompleted. You just want to go ahead and start from halfway. You know, I mean, why reinvent the wheel? Make sense? Let's see, this one's almost done. Let's work on this one. No, it's totally worthless. You cannot make hay out of this thing that you've got. You cannot redeem what you have. Only God can redeem what you have. And He's not redeeming it. He's just coming and living on the inside of it, and He'll cause it to bring forth fruit unto Him. He'll cause your mind and your body and your flesh and your mouth and your person to perform deeds of godliness. But it's not coming out of you. Out of your mind, out of your own strength, because now I'm saved. Amen? It's not coming out of your inward strength. It comes from the Holy Ghost who moves through you. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. It's Christ in you is your only hope of glory. The only hope of glory coming, that is the only hope of good works, is Christ in you. Not Christ with you. Christ in you. So we have to have an understanding that flesh is going to disappear. Your flesh is not going to make it to heaven. What's going to happen to your flesh? Do you remember? It's going to burn up. It's going to be transformed. It'll be changed because you cannot see God in your current form. Your flesh is going to be changed. Your flesh cannot enter into the presence of God. It is imputed to you righteousness. Right standing with God is imputed to you by faith alone in Jesus Christ. So you come in with joy. Come in with thanksgiving, as Harold said this morning. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like a wind have taken us away." Jeremiah 17, 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You're slippery. Do you know that? Anybody ever figured that out? You'll lie to yourself. You'll trick yourself. You'll try to, you know, that's one thing is that people try to tell themselves lies. They try to tell themselves they're okay. And then they find out they're not okay. How many of you found out you're not okay? You thought you were okay and then there it goes again. And you're frustrated. You're frustrated with your flesh. You're frustrated with your inability to act. Your inability to follow after God. I tell you, only by faith do you come into the kingdom of God. Romans 3:11 says, "There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God." I'm going to read you some more scriptures along the same line. Just so you know that God knows what He's talking about. Jeremiah 4:22, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, that they have no understanding. And they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Proverbs 1:29-30 said, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despised all of my instruction." Psalm 14, verse 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity have no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the name of the Lord?" Romans 8, chapter verse 7 said, "Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God, it is not subject to the law of God and cannot be." Your mind is not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." God's near. If you don't know Him today, God is near. Call upon Him. Call upon the name of the Lord. He that believeth on Jesus Christ, he that believes on Jesus, you will be born again. That is, you will be transformed out of the kingdom of this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If you're born again, that is, if you're made new, taken out of this world, doesn't mean physically, but from your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a mind, a soul, and you live in this body. Your spirit needs to be regenerated. It is separated from God. You have no life apart from this life. In the garden, God told Adam and Eve, He said, "In the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll die." How many know? They died. They were separated from God in that day. And because you are their children, you were separated from God in that day. Every child born of a man. Every child of seed by a man is separated from God. There's only one way, is to come to Jesus Christ through faith in His name. His name through faith in His name. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." That's those who have received Christ by faith. We are in Him. This is the true God. This is eternal life. I'm going to relate to you some stories from the Scripture. John chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus at night. Do you know they had church at night? I don't think they had church at night. I think he was sneaking around. What do you think? And the same came to Jesus secretly by night. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again," get right to the point, "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again?" See, he wanted to be outrageous to him, to throw him off of his, thoughts of what the heaven and the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven were. "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." It just stays flesh. If you're born of the flesh, you're going to stay flesh. You can't move from flesh to spirit. You can't move there by being good, by obeying a law, by doing the best you can. Listen to me. Being the best you can is nothing. It's no good. God never said, "Be the best you can." There's no correlation. The law does not say, "Best you can." The law says, "Do or die." So if you're depending upon, if you have a standard, that's the law. If you have a standard of doing what God said, you will never do it. You will never do what God said do in order to be saved. So the law can't save anybody. Why? Because flesh is weak and unable. The law cannot help you. Doing the law, being the best you can, will never help you to come into the kingdom of heaven. Right now you say, "I repent of my sin." I repent means I turn around. I go 180 degrees. I change my direction. I choose to not believe in me anymore, and I choose to believe in the provision of Jesus Christ. I choose to believe in God, who is my salvation. And Jesus said, "Truly, except a man be..." Okay, let's move down. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," verse 6. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." If you're born of the Spirit, you are spirit. Born of the Spirit, that is to be born from above. To be born from above, to be born of the Spirit. Don't marvel. Don't be surprised that I said to you, "You must be born again." Acts chapter 2. Verse 17. This is Peter preaching to the multitude after the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many know Peter wasn't much of a preacher before that? You get baptized in the Holy Ghost, You're empowered. Jesus said, wait until you be empowered. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which he did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, and him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, who God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of David the patriarch, who is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. How many know Jesus was the son of David? From both his mother's side and his and Joseph, who raised him. And he, seeing this, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh see corruption. This Jesus is God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they were heard, then they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Your sins have killed Jesus. Your sins have killed Jesus because your sin was what put him on the cross. Your inability to be brought into the presence of God is what brought Jesus here to earth. His desire was for you. God loves you. Jesus said the Father himself loves you. He desires you. He wants to have you as his sons and his daughters. And he says to you, come as you are. Don't fix up. Don't be better. Jesus said he came for the sick, didn't he? He came for those who needed a physician. He came for those who had no hope. If you have hope in this world, too bad. You'll never make it. If you have hope in this world, you'll never make it. Jesus said, I came to call sinners to repent, to change their mind. You want to change your mind. Don't go after your own strength. Come only on the merits of Jesus. Come only on the finished work of the cross. Jesus bore all of your sins on this cross. He took all of your sin upon himself, all of the burden, all of the punishment. He took it all upon himself so that you would be free. Right here, all of these sins have been nailed to his cross. And his blood has wiped out and washed away all of your sin. This is good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. This is good news. You need to listen to the good news. Hallelujah. Now, when they were heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall come." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." Now when he said, "Save yourselves," what does he mean? It means repent. That is, get your trust out of you. Get your discipline, get your disappointment out of you. Anybody hear me? Get your disappointment out of you. You're disappointed that you haven't served God. You're disappointed that you haven't performed. You're disappointed. You keep trying to make it on your own. God said, don't try to make it on your own. It'll never happen, ever. You will never, ever make it. You'll never be saved on your own merits by doing the best you can. You must repent today and be born again. You must repent today and be born again. Repent today and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And He'll indwell you by the Holy Spirit. And He will strengthen you. If you've been in church all your life, or you've been in church for many years and hoping for the best, "Well, gee, I hope I make it." No, you can have confidence today. My hope is not in me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Some good songs, aren't they? And then they gladly received His word and were baptized. And the same day were added to the church about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 30. This is Peter in the house of Cornelius. Peter received a vision to come to the house of Cornelius by the Holy Spirit. Cornelius was a house full of Gentiles. Peter had been preaching mainly to the Jews. So God said to Peter, "Don't call that which God has called clean, don't call it unclean." So Peter got down, they sent some people to come get him, and he went to the house of Cornelius. He was a member of a band called the Italian Band. You ever heard them? Pretty good. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour." Peter was asking him, "What'd you call for me?" "I was fasting, and at the ninth hour I stood in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, and when he shall come, he shall speak to you. Immediately I sent therefore to you, and you have done well that you are here. Now we are all here present before God.'" Had a meeting. He had a meeting already scheduled. Preachers like to have a bunch of people when they're preaching. I'm trying to find my place. "Now therefore we're all here present before God," verse 33, "to hear all things that are commanded you of God." And then Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew. They killed him, and they hanged him on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, visibly, to many. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God. Even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of the sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. These aren't Jews. These were Gentiles. This is a surprise. This is a shock. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. There's Jews in there. There's some of Peter's team. The team was there. They figured, you know, he's preaching to these people, but there's nothing going to happen. I mean, after all, they're not of us. They're people like you, unless you're Jewish. People like me, Slovenians, and Norwegians, stuff like that, Italians. And they of the circumcision, verse 45, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, how'd they know? How'd they know? Read the next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, that's pretty evident. It's the same, they got the same gift of the Holy Ghost that was fell upon the disciples. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they prayed him that he would stay with them several days. Finally, Acts chapter 17. Verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. And when he saw the city completely given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers and Epicureans of the Stoics encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Some it said he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preaches to them Jesus and about the resurrection. And he took them and they brought him down to Areopagus, saying, may we know of this new doctrine whereof you speak? For you bring certain strange things to our ears, that we would know therefore what these things mean. And all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? Yeah, what's your view? What's your take? Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Nothing like covering your bases, is it? whom God therefore whom you ignorantly worship, him I will declare him to you. I'll tell you who he is. God that made the world and all things therein, saying that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, and neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing that he gives to all life and breath, all things, and is made of one blood all nations for men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You remember he says he upholds all things by the word of his power. The only reason you're here is because God exists. The only reason you live and you breathe, the only reason you have any being at all, is because God created this world. You didn't come from nothing. You came from the hand of God. You were created by him. For in him we live and we move and we have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God is likened to gold. If we're his children, why do we think that the Godhead is like silver or gold? Are you silver or gold? Are you art? Are you a piece of art graven by hand of man? And the times of ignorance God winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others hid, we will hear of you again. So Paul departed from among them. However, certain men clung to him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others that joined with them. Preaching to you these things because this is how they preach the gospel in the days of the kingdom. And this is how we are to preach the gospel in today. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, suffered, died for your sin, paid the price, the penalty, so that you could be brought into the kingdom of God. You can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. You have no hope. But this morning, you have hope. This morning, you can receive Jesus Christ. This morning, you can say, Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I take you as my Savior. I have no hope in my flesh. I have no hope in this world. I have no hope in my ability to do the things that are commanded of men to do. There is nothing that I can do. I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in his blood that was shed for me on the cross at Calvary. And that blood has paid for all of my sin. That blood has delivered me out of sin and the works of the devil. It's delivered me out of hell. There is none. No other way that you can come into the kingdom of God. It's not by doing good works. The book of Ephesians says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves. Let's bow our heads today. Father, I thank you for this message today, declaring the only hope of any man or woman, boy or girl, to be saved from hell, to be saved from departing this world without being in the presence of God, If you're not in the presence of God, you die eternally. He said, there is a lake of fire. I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of an eternal lake of fire. I want to live in the presence of God. I want to live in your presence. I want to live in the presence of Almighty God who loves me and who has provided everything for me both now and forevermore. If there's anyone here this morning, you know that you have never received Jesus this morning. As of this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'd like you to just raise your hand. And I want to pray for you and pray with you this morning. Anybody at all? You've never received Jesus as your Savior this morning. You've never said, Jesus, I have only hope in you alone. There may be some who want to come afterward. But I'm going to give you this opportunity right now. Anybody who wants to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, the one who has delivered you out of bondage, out of sin, and into the presence of God, your Father, who loves you. You know, it's important for us to open the door at all times to allow for those who would receive Jesus. I'm going to ask the deacons who are here to come forward. And to pray for those who have needs. To pray for those who have need of healing. You want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you want to be born again, you haven't raised your hand. You come up and say, I need to receive Jesus right now. Father, we thank you today for your finished work. We thank you for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We open the door. We invite those who have never known Jesus to come. Our desire is not to put fear on the inside of you, to doubt anything, but rather to say to you, if you had depended upon being good or doing as good as you can, if that's what your dependence has been on, come right now. Come right now and repent. The repentance is, I can't do what it takes because God said I can. God Himself said it. It's not being me being weak. It's God said it. No man will come into the kingdom by works. The law had one purpose, to show that there was no hope. So, Father, with this day, I thank you right now that you came to seek and save that which was lost through Jesus Christ. And we ask you right now, Lord God, to minister to the hearts of those who are without hope right now, who have been devastated by the gospel, which is the good news, and that they are now encouraged that there is true hope, that there is true life, there is true joy. Because once you've received Jesus, you're done. You're in. You're in. Once you've received Him by faith, you're in the kingdom of heaven. Heaven starts today. Heaven starts today. And we give you all the praise and the thanks for it. Let's all lift our hands and praise Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for His unspeakable gift. Thank you for His unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you that I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't depend upon my own works. My own works are worthless. They're filthy rags. But I thank God that you saved me by the Holy Ghost. You saved me through your own blood. And I'm to spend eternity right beginning right now with the Father. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you this day and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.